appreciate that the Lord is faithful to us as His children. And it gives me great consolation as I live my life, knowing that the Lord is faithful and He shows up on a daily basis. I'm thinking about when I first started. I am naturally a skeptic. Just by nature, I'm a person that's very skeptical. You tell me something and I'll smile and I'll nod, but I'm going to find out if it's really true or not. I was the kind of person that when I wasn't saved, I would follow other Christians around, and sometimes I would, provoke them to see if what they had was real. Some of you know my cousin Ken. He still reminds me this to this day. But we do it in a joking way, but I'm ashamed to admit I used to follow him around with a Bible, thumping it, saying, "Hey, Bible thumper, what do you got to say?" and things like that. And I want to tell you, God can make a difference. God can change a life. In my skepticism, I would read the Bible from time to time as a sinner. And I remember one time reading a scripture talking about someone making a start for the Lord and turning back, and they were twice the child of hell. And that really scared me and caused me to really draw back, because I knew in my life that the Lord was kind of drawing me, but I knew I wasn't right. And I remember distinctly I had a problem with the filthy mouth. And it was just a part of the growing up that I had, and it became a part of who I was. And I remember spending several months trying to stop, and wasn't able to overcome that. Sometimes I might have a good week, and I might go 6 days. But something would happen, and then you'd be overtaken by that spirit. And I remember thinking to myself, well, I want to get saved. I feel like the Lord's calling, but I just can't get myself right. And so, me being the skeptic that I was, I remember I prayed a prayer that was sincere, albeit kind of shallow. And I said, "Lord, if you'll deliver me from cussing, I'll think about getting saved." And that's what I told the Lord in the spring of 94. And to the glory of God, the very next day, I recognized that power was broken in my life and completely taken away and eradicated. And it was at that moment I had to be honest and realize there's something going on out here that I'm not aware of, and I don't fully understand, but I can't deny the power that exists and what is there. And it was some months later, it was actually ended up being October 6th at 11:45 at night at the foot of my bed, all by myself with the Lord, that I gave my life to Him. And by the power of God, I have not turned back since that time. And I thank the Lord for that. And I want to, by the help of the Lord, I want to share a few things tonight, a few little thoughts. I feel so strongly and passionately, I believe I share the heart of God in this, that God desires for us as His children to be strong pillars in His church, strong pillars in our communities and in our circles of influence that we all have. The Lord is not interested in us walking around with a defeatist mindset. He's not interested in us just barely getting by and scraping by, but rather that we would be alive and thriving, that we would be like that burning bush that Moses saw that captured His attention. He's walking along and He had an agenda. He was doing something. He did not go out to the wilderness to see a burning bush. That was not in His to-do list, but He couldn't help be drawn to it because He looked and He saw and He's, "Wait, well, let's see what this thing is. This is out of the ordinary." And that's what God is interested in your life in 2025. We live in a time where the world has lost its mind. It's lost its love. They have no concern for other people. There's no dignity. They just don't care about other people. Everybody is out for themselves. And God is expecting us to be different, to swim against that tide, to be a kind of man or woman that's willing to stand against the current and go against the current and continue to follow in the steps of our dear Savior. I think about that scripture in Ephesians 5:1. It says, "As dear children, We are to follow in His footsteps, to follow the example that He gave. And I want to encourage you tonight, saints, that in 2025, it's still possible to live like Jesus, because He has promised to give His Spirit, to give us strength, wisdom, power. Brother Henry talked a little bit today, both the power to will and to do of His good pleasure. And I want you to know the same power that God had many years ago to break that spirit in my life still has that same power today to help us to, having done all, to stand righteously and soberly before the Lord. And as I think about this tonight, I feel like there's some things, very practical things, that the Lord has inspired that we ought to pay attention to that will help us to be that kind of strong Christian. You know, it starts with making a start for the Lord. I cannot tell you enough. As a skeptic, there's no better way to live. There is literally no better way to live. I don't get paid to make that advertisement. I don't get extra things in heaven because I'm saying it. I'm telling you because it's true. I've tasted and I've seen that the Lord surely is good. I've lived all different kinds of lives. And I can tell you there's no better way of living. I have lots of family very close to me that are in and out of things, jails and prisons and bind by drugs and so many other kinds of things. And I look at their lives and we have very real conversations. And I know there are things that allure in the world. There are things that are bright and lights and then they attract. But you know, when you start to talk to those folks and you get the quiet moments and they get real serious and they tell you the truth. And the truth is that there's only pleasure in sin for just a short season. And it leaves them hopeless, empty, and broken, defeated, hopeless, and feeling like there's nothing good in this world. And you know what it does to their soul when they see a true child of God walking in the newness of salvation? And when I say walking in the newness of salvation, that doesn't mean that I just recently got saved. It also means that I've been living with the Lord and He's kept me for all these years and it's still fresh and new every morning. The Lord desires for us to understand and meditate upon how good it is that we have it. At home, I testify almost every time I tell them, I said, I am so spoiled and well taken care of. My God takes so good care of me. I don't have a single complaint. I have problems. I have difficulties. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord sees me through them all. He helps me to have a right attitude when I look to Him. Then He gives me the right attitude and the right mindset to walk as He walked on this earth. Even though there might be some that are a little bit contrary. It might bother some folks when we do it like that. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord gives the power to be able to do it. So you start to think about, well, how do I do this? Well, I get started by giving my heart to the Lord. I respond to the call. You know, the Lord, at some point or another, will call every man, woman, and child. And I want to strongly encourage you, anybody here tonight that hasn't, maybe somebody listens to this, maybe months down the road, gets on the internet, I want you to know, taste and see that the Lord is good. Give Him a chance. Give Him an opportunity. Let Him love on you a little bit and let you start to experience a love that supersedes anything that you'll experience in this world, even beyond your parents and your family. There's a love that is there, that is unconditional, that supports you and takes you through all of life's circumstance and holds you tight, gives you a sense and a feeling of, I can make it. I can do this. It might be difficult, but with your help, Lord, I can do it. So I'm thinking about one of the things that helps us to be successful in the kingdom of God is we got to get our minds right. When you get saved, you have some things that you still remember. And you need the Lord to help you with your mind and your way of thinking. Sometimes we kind of help the devil out a little bit because we get it stuck in these thinking errors, right? And these thinking errors are thinking that is in opposition to the way that God says that it is. It's in opposition to the way that God said that He would bless your life and He would keep you. He was able to present you faultless before the throne to keep you from falling. And I think about how important it is when we're living for the Lord that we get our thinking right. I want to get a scripture here, very familiar scripture in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, or Philippians rather. And we'll begin with verse 6. And it says, be careful for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we see here one of the very important principles to being a person that maintains a strong salvation, that is thriving in spite of whatever's going on around them. We've all walked in here. I'm sure all of us have some kind of problems. We have things that we think about. And I hope to God tonight that we can just set that aside for a minute and listen to the word of the Lord, that He would give us what we stand in need to have victory in those areas and to be able to conquer in those things and to live in such a way that people would look and marvel. How is it you can be like that? How is it you can do like that? Oh, there's a God. There's a God in heaven that has promised to be with me, to walk with me, and to talk with me. And it starts with our acknowledgement. You're not smart enough to handle it. I'm just going to tell you that tonight. Doesn't matter what the problem is. Doesn't matter how you've been thinking. Well, if they do this, then I can do that. And I can do this. And I can grow here. And I can run in and around. And I have it. We always are trying to use our own minds to solve the problems. I want you to understand tonight that we serve a God of purpose, not a God of accident. You can search the entirety of the Bible. You will never, ever find that word. You won't find the word accident. So everything that happens is for a reason. It's for a purpose. And because God has allowed it. And it's not just to cause you to have a stressful day or a stressful month or to just disturb your peace. But rather, it's an opportunity for that bush to be lit on fire for all that are in your sphere of influence to be able to look and behold and look at the glory of God. Look at what He's able to do. And all these different things that come, and yet they're still able to maintain their salvation. They're still able to maintain a good attitude. They're still able to maintain the love of God for these other ones, and they're able just to cause people to look and wonder. And it begins with an acknowledgement that I can't do it myself. That's not just when you get saved. You know, when you come to the end of your rope and you've tried everything that you can, and you realize this world doesn't offer what you need, and so you're like, well, I guess I got nothing else. I guess I'll try the Lord. You know, sometimes we carry that thinking error into our salvation, and we try to do all the different kinds of things, and then you'll hear people say things like, well, I guess all I can do is pray now. It's the wrong answer. That's a thinking error. And we need to lay that on the altar and ask the Lord to deliver us from these thinking errors, because the thinking errors get us in wrong loops. And we get stuck in these places, and we wonder why we don't have the power. We wonder why we don't have the victory. And it starts with the way that we think with our mind. We need to realize that we've been bought with a price. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We are the object of God's divine affection. When He looks at you, you have value, purpose, and worth. He smiles when He sees your face. I think about that one little email clip that went around, and it is this little thought. It says, you know, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Yeah. Right? And I know that's not scriptural, but what it is, it gives us an understanding of the love and affection that our Father has for us on an individual basis. That He cares that much for us. And so it is that He wants us to call upon His name and to reach out via prayer. And that's what He says here. Don't be careful for anything. In other words, don't be anxious. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be upset. Our Father has already seen it. He knows it. He knows what to do. He knows how to handle the situation. He knows how He wants you to go through it. And He's got every power in heaven devoted to helping us do that. But sometimes we think it should go a different way. Lord, I thought this best situation and the way it would work best. And you know, when you start to really name that out, you realize how ridiculous it is. I mean, imagine, you know, there's a situation and you're like, Lord, come sit right here and let me tell you how I think this should go. And when you say it out loud like that, you can't help but realize how ridiculous that idea is. That the thing that was made is going to tell the thing that made it what to do and how to do. Right? And so we understand that when it comes to being successful spiritually, we have to engage in prayer. One place it tells us to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? I am perpetually dependent upon the Father in heaven to help me to know how to handle the situation and the circumstance of life. I understand that the Lord is blessed in times past. He gives us wisdom and revelation and understanding. But we're not to just lean on our own understanding and go and say, well, this is how they did it in the past. And Lord, you can just sit tight. I know what to do now, and I'm going to handle this. Even if we find ourselves in that kind of place where we have wisdom, we still need to say, Lord, is this how you want it to go? Is this how you want me to proceed? And we bring that to the Lord, and we seek His permission. And this is what it's talking about, that we make our requests known. It also says, with thankfulness. Can I ask you this? What's good in your life? You know how easy it is to think about what's wrong? It's so easy to think about what's wrong. But, you know, and I've started this little habit for myself. When I see people, you know, sometimes you see some folks, they look down, you're like, what's wrong? I'm like, what's good? What's good? You know, you start to think about what exactly the Lord has done in your life. And I encourage you, each and every day you wake up, we need to stop and think. And count our blessings, the song says. But we need to stop and recognize, what has the Lord done in my life? What blessings do I have? My personal way of doing things, I don't get out of bed without praying in the morning. Because I can get too busy and get caught up, and you can get in a hurry, and the devil will get you out the door without a word of prayer. So I've learned he's defeated before I ever get out of bed. I'm not going to give him the opportunity to get me that busy. I'm going to start the conversation, and the Lord and I are going to have a conversation throughout the whole day. And there are times when things happen, I'm like, Lord, did you see what they just did? You know, it helps you instead of getting into your own thinking and be like, hey, man, who are you? How are you? Why are you doing that? Right? But Lord, did you see what they did? It gets you back to that place of humility and dependence upon the Lord, making known in our mind and getting our minds right. This is what it takes to be a successful Christian, to realize no matter how much we grow, no matter how much we develop spiritually, and the Lord is doing that for each and every one of us, but it doesn't matter how big we get, we still need the Lord. And that's why He set it up that way. Well, we go on here, read a little bit more, 7, it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you hear what it said? It'll keep you. The Lord knows how to keep you regardless of the circumstance of life. You know what we tend to do is we look at the people that are involved. We look at the circumstances. We consider the consequence and whether they're good or bad maybe. And our mind will easily go to the worst of the worst scenario. And we get all worked up. Well, if this happens, then that's going to happen. Then this is going to, I'm going to be without this. And I'm going to suffer that. And we go down and we get caught in this loop. And we wonder why we struggle. We're thinking wrong. That's not how the Lord wants His children thinking. But rather the Lord wants you thinking and realizing that He is the God of all creation. He has all power in heaven and earth. And He sits and He looks and He beholds His children. He is mindful of who we are. He's not a God that has set things in order and just kind of let it go and standing over here and saying, let's see what happens. That's not what He does. He's intimately acquainted with us as His children. And so it is that we understand that when we get our thinking right, there's a peace that keeps us. Why? Because I know that He cares for me. I know that He's mindful and that the situation that I'm in, I might just consider just a circumstance of life, a routine or whatever it is I'm doing. But you know the Lord cares about that. He cares about the things that touch your life. You realize, I mean, some of us, you go to school, right? Some of you young folk. And you're sitting there, maybe you're sitting in a class and it's your least favorite and it's kind of boring. And you're just sitting there thinking, what's the point? What's the purpose? You know, God has a purpose in that. He has something that day He wishes to accomplish through your life. And there might be some things there that you're going to learn that you don't even realize that are going to be a benefit down the road. But also, there are people around you that are looking and watching. And I'll say this for the older ones, and you're on the job, and sometimes it can get pretty mundane. But you know the Lord is there. He's mindful of it. I thank the Lord. I have one of those jobs where I'm reminded every day how important it is. because I deal with young people, and I tell folks every day I have a congregation of 80. I had 80 students running through my classroom and coming from some pretty messed up situations, a lot of broken homes. And, you know, each and every day I wake up, I feel like there's a reason. There's a purpose why I'm here. There's something that I got to do. There's some way that I have to be. It's not an accident that they ended up in my classroom. It's not an accident that I ended up in their life. And I start to ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that we're to be doing? Help me today to understand your will. And that's what he's talking about here, to make your requests known and understand that each and every day of our life, there is a reason and a purpose we're alive. There's a reason why the Lord gives us life and breath and all the different things that he blesses us with. And we ought to be mindful that God has a will and a purpose for our life. And so it is that as we start to seek the Lord and ask him, it starts to give us the ability to thrive because we know we're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. There's something that's happening. You know, when you're walking in your purpose and you're using the gifts the Lord gave you, there is a peace that follows. Because you know you're right with the Lord. You know you're in the center of his will doing what he wants you to do. And I want to encourage you. Brother Henry and I talked about this a little bit, and I don't have time to get into it tonight, but I think it's important. You know, you need to seek the Lord to know what your gifting really is. Every single one of us is blessed in a certain kind of way. Some more than others in different areas, it doesn't matter. None's more important than the other. And the quantity of gifting that you have doesn't make you better or more spiritual or more valuable in the kingdom of God. The little bit that you have, the way that God made you and the gift that he gave you, there's a place in the body for that. And I want you to understand it's important that if you want to be strong, you want to thrive in the kingdom of God, you need to seek the Lord until he causes you to know and understand what it is that he's blessed you with, what he is he's gifted you, and ask him to show you how to exercise that gift in the body that it might be a benefit to the others. But what you're going to find, I'm going to tell you a secret here, when you start to benefit others, you're going to find that you're going to benefit yourself too, because the Lord made it that way. He puts his blessing there. We go on here a little bit further, and it says, finally, brethren, do you realize that this is more than just a recommendation? Sometimes I talk to folks and they can get so worked up with their issues and their problems and their concerns. And it'll take you down a rabbit hole and it'll get you worried. It can cause your body to get sick and weak. It'll dry out your spirit if you allow the devil to entertain you with different thoughts that are different than what God has said. He's been like this from the very beginning. Think about how blessed Adam and Eve were. There's a little joke. It goes like this. Adam was talking to Eve and he says, honey, look at all these wonderful things that the Lord has done. He's given us this food over here and that food over there. And there's this over there and all these animals and we don't have to work. And isn't it amazing? And what do you think of it? And she goes, yeah, it's still quite not enough, is it? And it's not to cast her in a bad light, but what it is to highlight what the enemy did. And what he was able to do. You understand that's how the enemy works. He comes and he tries to point out a perceived lack. And I'm going to tell you right now, there is no lack with God. If you feel like you're in a place of lack, I encourage you, I challenge you, find your own altar of prayer and start to pray and ask the Lord to open your eyes to see how he's blessed you. Ask him to show you where you could have been had you not given your life to him, had he not had his mercy upon you. I tell you, another little thing that I feel like helps me spiritually to stay strong is to think about what the Lord saved me from. I know we like to forget our past and we'd rather not think about it. But you know, from time to time, and when I say time to time, at least once a month, I have a habit of just thinking about what my life was like. And not to revel in it, not to make myself feel bad, but to remember what the Lord did for me. And I meditate upon where I could be and where those roads would have taken me. And I see it working in some other people's lives and the destruction and the despair that it's brought. And I meditate on it, not to feel better about myself and think I'm better than somebody else, but to revel in what God has done. Too many times we take for granted the blessings of the Lord. We forget what He's done. I think that was the problem in the garden. And that's how the enemy was able to come in and get them to think and focus on a perceived lack. You know that enemy still works the same way today? He does that to try and keep people from getting saved, and he does that to keep people from thriving. That's why it's important. And this is what he says here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. What the Lord is telling you is you're not strong enough to think about all those negative thoughts and still make it to heaven and thrive as a child of God. It will take you out. It will slowly drag you down. It's like a weight that gets tied on, and they just keep adding more and more weight, and pretty soon you're just walking around in a circle and don't even realize it, getting all tangled up in the rope, and then somehow you get to the point where you think, well, is the Lord even good? We got to get our thinking right. We've got to learn how to check our thinking. And I'm going to tell you this. Until you can get to a place where you can discern and recognize the dealings of the Lord and His voice, go ahead and get somebody in the body that will hold you accountable. Get you somebody that is willing to tell you about yourself and willing to be honest with you, and you start to share with them and they can say, brother, sister, I hear what you're saying, but let me show you where it's not true. It's not true what you're thinking. It's not honest. Right? I'll do this sometimes. I'm talking to people and they're sharing, and that's fine. You know, sometimes we need to vent a little bit, and then I'll always encourage them. I'll say, well, what's of good report in that? What in that thinking causes you to want to praise God? And if the answer is nothing, then you need to lay it down. You need to cast it down by the help of the Lord. We pray again, Lord, I'm having a hard time letting go of this. I need to give this to you. The devil will trick you into thinking that's just who you are. That's what he'll tell you. Oh, that's just your personality. That's just how you are. You're that person. You're the skeptic, and you're the pessimist, and you always just see what's wrong. I'm going to tell you, God can fix that. It doesn't mean that you can't, in a righteous way, acknowledge things and point out things that the Lord shows you. But if you find that it's starting to drag down your spirit and to take away your joy and to wet your happiness down to where you can't experience it and there's no sense of purpose and joy and happiness, then there is a need to bring that to the Lord and to cast it down, because he said right here, whatsoever things. He tells us the things to think about. He made us. He knows how we operate. He knows the best way to operate this system. And so it is that he tells us here, these are the things that you're to think about. It doesn't mean that we're an ostrich and we bury our head in the sand and pretend things don't exist. They exist. I'm just not going to spend all my time thinking about it. Now that to some might seem careless, but you know what? I'm not thinking about it because I gave it to the Lord. My confidence is in His ability to handle it, right? I go and I read the promises. This is another thing. You need to stand on the promises of God. You need to go through, read your Bible, find some promises, and claim them for your own. Take them. That is mine, right? The Lord God is a sun and shield. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. That is a promise of the Lord that He gave to us as His children. He has told us time and time again throughout His word. He's given us problems. He's given us promises to hold us and to keep us. We need to remember those things. We don't need to remember how someone's wronged us or how we've wronged ourselves or all the different keeping score of all the negative things. We need to just let that go. We need to think on the things that are right. We need to claim the promises that the Lord has given us so that having done all, we can stand. Right? Thinking about how important it is also not to neglect our salvation. There's a scripture in Hebrews in the 12th chapter. I'm sorry, I might have wrote that down wrong, but there's a scripture that talks about how shall they escape if they neglect so great a salvation. Do you realize your salvation requires maintenance? The Lord loves you so much. Thank you. 2 and 3. The Lord loves you so much that He wants to hear from you daily. Multiple times. Right? And I know sometimes new believers, maybe sometimes old believers might get in this where you start to think, well, I have to read and I have to pray. And you make some kind of routine. And you know what I say about that? It's a good routine to get into, but your thinking's got to get right. Yeah. It's not have to. Amen. It's the Lord wants to meet with you. Yeah. He wants to be with you. Are you in love or not? Yeah. Right? It's His love that has drawn us. It's His love that kept Him on the tree. It's His love that maintains the relationship that we have. And it's His love that He wants us to walk in. That's the example, right? And when the scripture says that God made us in His image, right? And then we read in 1 John 4 and 8, the first half, it says God is love. This is how He's made us. He's made us to be a loving people. And that includes the relationship that we have with Him. And a part of the way that we maintain that relationship is we keep an open dialogue through prayer. We keep a continual reliance upon Him, recognizing that we need Him to breathe. Sometimes that's all you can do, right? You start to get caught up in everything else. Lord, I'm actually able to breathe right now. Thank you. We take that for granted. We just assume that it's just ours. We get to have that, right? But you understand, it's God that gives us that breath. It's God that gives us the ability to see and to do and understand. And we need to realize that and thank Him for those kinds of things. Have that conversation, that dialogue. But as we go on here, thank you, Brother Henry, Hebrews 2 and 3. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, right? Which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. And so we see here that there is a maintenance that needs to happen to that salvation. It's not something we ignore to get started, and it's not something that we ignore when we get it. It's not a Ronco. You don't set it and forget it and walk away. It's something that we maintain. You know why we read the Word of God? It gives us an understanding of how things work. When you start to familiarize yourself with the Word of God and you start to see all the things that are going on, we got movers and shakers and celebrities and people in positions of power and their faces are all over the place and their voices are heard. And, you know, if you don't know the Word of God, they'll persuade you to think one way or another and be certain kinds of ways. But when you go back and you look at the Word of God, you see it for what it is. You see right through it and you can understand. And if you didn't know and you didn't have the Lord and you looked at what's going on in the world today, you ought to be scared. You really should be. If you know what's really going on. But as a child of God, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be fearful. Because I know God has the heart of the king in His hand. And He turns it whithersoever He wants. How do I know that? The word of the Lord tells me. The experiences that you read in this Bible tell us. We see it. Part of this maintenance is reading and familiarizing ourselves with the word of God. That we would know who He is. It inspires your faith. When you start to read the biblical accounts and things that are going on, and you really start to get a hold of those things, and you start seeing that these are real world powers and how they're working. And we were just talking about the other night, Nebuchadnezzar, the big head, right? Thought he was everything. He had the greatest kingdom. The Lord acknowledged it was a great kingdom, but the Lord gave it to him. And Nebuchadnezzar thought it was himself. And God took his mind, and in a moment, he was wild and crazy. You understand, when you read a story like that, then you start to understand how powerful our God is. And it gives you faith to believe that now I can walk in the way that the Lord is calling me to walk in 2025. And I can be who the Lord wants me to be. And I don't have to worry about, well, what if this or what if that or if this person does that. I teach in a public high school. In one of the most anti-God cities and districts in the nation. You know, I've baptized 4 of my students, almost maybe 5. I'm not worried about losing my job. It's God that gave me the job. Nobody's going to take it unless the Lord says, we're done here. right? And you understand that when you know who God is and you know who's in control, it gives you a boldness to be who God wants you to be in all the different places that He puts us, to be who God wants us to be. Need not be ashamed. Don't need to be worried. Well, I'm the only sole breadwinner in our family. Doesn't matter. God will take care of it. The Lord will take care of it. And so it is that we walk, right? There is a maintenance. How do we get this kind of courage and fire? We read our word. We understand who our God is. We spend time in prayer. We pay attention to the Lord. I want to also get a scripture in the 12th chapter. I also want in 12 and 3. Lord bless. The Lord gives us some wisdom here that in 12 and 3 says, for consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know what this scripture is telling you to do? It's telling you to go back and study the Gospels. Look at what Jesus was dealing with. Start asking questions, right? The greatest way to study the Gospels after you've read it and become familiar, now when you go back and reread that story, stop and ask yourself, what could Jesus have done differently? How could he have responded in a different way? What were his options? And when you start to see all the different options that he had, and then you read how he responded, you start to get a whole new level of understanding of how to be in this world and how to walk as he walked. You understand that he was a man just like you. A woman just like you. He was subject to like passions, and he was tempted in all points, like as we are. So, you know, when you've been on the job site, or you've been out on the road, or you're in the public, and someone comes at you sideways and disrespectfully, and they're talking all kinds of ways to you, and you feel that bubbling up within you. Jesus felt that too. He experienced that. But the Bible says that he did it without sin. And the Bible also tells us we can do the same. Right? Well, we have to go back and study him. We have to know, Lord, how did you do this? Maybe you have to call out on him in prayer. And Lord, I need some help to know how to handle this. You know there's this one situation. Every time I come up against it, Lord, I really seem to struggle here. We can lean upon the Lord and let him lead us and give us the power. So this is what it tells us here, to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. It's wearisome. People will wear us down. But if we have the mind and understanding of God and what he's doing in that situation, too many times we want to pray, Lord, just get him out of my life. Make them be quiet. Make them change. But maybe the Lord wants them to be just the way they are, so that something within you can shine forth. And they're just scratching at it, maybe like I was before I was saved, following my cousin around and all different kinds. Maybe they're scratching at it to see what you have is real. And too many times we want to just pray it away. But you know what, Lord, what are we doing here? Yes. What's happening in this situation? How do you want me to be? How did you endure such contradiction of sinners? I don't want to weary. I don't want to faint in my mind. Lord, can you show me? Can you teach me how you did that? You know, you find when you go to the Lord, he'll show you that. Yes. I want to give you one more. There's so many more, but I'm going to close with one more. I feel like is a help for us being strong in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, in the 10th chapter, 24th verse, it says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. I'm going to tell you something. You want to thrive as a Christian? You want to be strong in the kingdom of God? You want to have victory in your life? Learn how to serve other people. Learn how to get to know who they are, what they stand in need of, and how you can bring wealth to them. And we're not talking necessarily financial wealth. You're not going to buy your way into heaven. So this doesn't mean that you break your piggy bank and you go find someone that's a pain to you and just hand them all the cash and think that they're going to, you know, be better off for it, and you will too. It's far greater than that. What it's talking about is spiritual wealth, spiritual well-being. When we think about this, is so important. This strengthens the church. This strengthens the body. This also wins souls into the kingdom. When we are able to get a hold of this and we realize that when I wake up today, my sole purpose is not to make it so that I have a great day. Now, that's a hard thing to understand, isn't it? You know, in my line of work, there's a lot of teachers that get this idea that this is my classroom. These are my rules. And this is how you will act in my space. You know, the Lord has given me an entirely different mindset. I show up to work to serve those children. I'm there to help them. I'm there to give them counsel and guidance and instruction. And it's an entirely different mindset when you come into work thinking you're the janitor and rather than you're thinking you're the CEO. There's an entirely different way of showing up. And that's what this scripture is talking about when we show up in the church. Okay? Too many times we're thinking, these are my needs. This is what I want. This is what needs to happen. People need to treat me this way, talk to me this way, and do these kinds of things, and then I'm going to prosper. And I'm going to tell you, the Word of God says different. The Word of God says that you show up looking to see, how can I benefit you? How can I make your life better? Right? Brother Aaron and I both come from a little bit of a distance to get here. And I want to tell you, it's not a burden. It's not a sacrifice. We're excited at the opportunity to be able to come and do to the very best that we can. And our hope and our prayer is that at the end of all of it is we make ourselves available to God and we share with you what the Lord has given us that you might be better for it. And we rejoice in that. We want that. That's what God's body is all about. That people are gathered together. They've come together. They all experience the same salvation, the same love of God, and it transforms their heart. It transforms their thinking. And when they enter into this thing that we call the body, the church, they enter in with no agenda for themselves. We enter in to seek the wealth and benefit of our brothers and our sisters, because you're going to find that as you do that, you start to ask yourself, well, if I do that, who's going to take care of me? Well, look around. Look around. A whole lot of people are going to do that for you. They're going to take care of it. This is how God's church is to function. This is what the body is and how it looks. And I'm going to tell you, when we start living like this and allow it to be our daily practice, it'll transform us. It'll transform our mind. It'll cause us to be that city that is set on the hill. And when people look and they say, that's just not any old church. There's something about that. There's something about those people. They're real. They got a hold of it. They act and talk and walk just like Jesus did. And you know we're to be that way with the world. To seek their wealth. Too many times we get caught in these thinking errors, right? Somebody comes at us and treats us a certain kind of way, and we get to feeling a certain kind of way. And there's that temptation to react. And like, Lord, how can I cause them to be in a wealthy place right now? Lord, I need you right now. I need your power. I don't have it. I need you to give me something to be able to love them in such a way that I can put them in a wealthy place. They don't deserve it, but I want them to be there. I want them to be able to enjoy what it is that you've given me. I believe so much in it. And you'll find that as we seek to serve others, you're going to find that God is going to bring you to a great place. He's going to give you great strength. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you discernment. He'll give you the ability to deal with things, hardships, setbacks, things that, you know, just because you're nice to someone, just because you're trying to bless someone and to seek their wealth doesn't mean they're going to treat you better. I'm going to tell you that right now. Okay? That doesn't guarantee that that's going to happen. You might just be planting a seed. You might be just dumping a little water. You might not be seeing the fruition and their heart broken and transformed. You might still receive the same kind of treatment. Don't quit. Don't give up. That's what he said. Consider Jesus, who endured such contradiction of sinners. Right? Don't want to weary. Don't want to give up. We still want to continue to do what it is the Lord is calling us to do. And this is, understand that you cannot do this in your own strength. You won't. You'll wear out. I promise you, you will wear out. But I tell you this, if you'll do it, there'll be a couple other things that'll happen. You'll want to be in service. I'm just going to tell you. You know why? Because you need filled up. You're going to want to be there. And I'm going to tell you, it'll make you want to be there on a Wednesday night. You know why? Because you're going to have something to testify. You're going to tell, this is what the Lord has been doing. This is how he's caused me to be working. And I want to tell you, not that you think highly of me, but that your faith might be inspired that God is alive and well and working in 2025. And there are still people that are benefiting from the good news of the gospel. There are still people that want to hear it. But we got to be a people that are willing to serve. willing to allow the Lord to use us to do these things, to be able to seek to cause the wealth of somebody else. And I'll tell you, as you do these things, the Lord will give you understanding of where you can work, where you can function. I think about the giftings. Again, it's so important to know what the Lord has gifted you with, and whatever it is, however small you might think it is, just take the first step and act in it. Right? It doesn't mean that you're going to become a preacher. That's okay. There's so many other jobs to do. You remember the story of Dorcas? All she did was make cloths. But man, there were so many people that were touched when they thought she had passed away. You can't tell me she didn't make a difference. She learned that God had blessed her with the ability to sew. And so she took that and she used it to the glory of God. And then she understood that whatsoever I do in word or deed, I do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. And everything that I do to the glory of God, that He might be glorified. He's the one that gave me this desire, this skill and aptitude, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability to glorify Him. And I promise you, if you live that kind of life, you're going to find there is a God that will glorify you for your obedience to Him. I appreciate your time and attention tonight. My hope and my desire is that we all be a people that are thriving in the kingdom of God, on fire, hot with passion, desiring to do God's work, having testimony after testimony of what the Lord has done and what the Lord is continuing to do in each of our lives. May God bless and help each one. Appreciate your time tonight.